What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com's Backstage Report podcast for November 27th, 2023. I know a lot of you are new here, so we're going to give you a rundown of basically what we do. Every week, usually Monday on Fightful Select, we do the Backstage Report podcast. We are guided by what I call the Fightful Wrestling Weekly. That Fightful Wrestling Weekly is a tier two sort of all encapsulation of the things that we had reported over the last week. We update some of those stories with additional information. Tier two also gets early access to interviews, features, and the like. But we use that on the Backstage Report to guide sort of our week in review. And in wrestling, the week in review is usually a Monday afternoon, because that's when we start off the wrestling week, and we've got plenty to talk about now. I'm going to walk you through the timeline and a lot of what we know, what we did know, what we didn't know regarding CM Punk, so let's jump right into it. So CM Punk returned to WWE. We found out at Fightful maybe 2 or 3 minutes before he came out, which is when a whole lot of people found out. Here is the timeline of events as we reported it and as confirmed by Triple H at the post-show press conference. Shortly after Fastlane, I spoke with WWE after they had seen that I had debunked a story that Punk had signed with the company at that point. They confirmed as much. They said, yep, just spoke with people in the know. He has not signed, and as of now, there are no plans to bring him in. I asked every week, including up until the day, and reps, producers, creative, had no idea that CM Punk was coming in. No creative were warned. No producers were told. Reps were not even told until the day of. The actual contract was not finalized and signed until Saturday. CM Punk and Triple H kept this very close to the vest. What I did hear was November 19th, I spoke to a source close to Punk who said that Punk and Triple H had an hour-long conversation in which some fences were mended. That's why we had posted that information in the Q&A and posted some information that said that he was making attempts to mend fences. I'm told that as a part of that conversation, CM Punk felt pretty comfortable with the idea of going back. And I don't know when exactly they finalized the deal, but as Triple H said, it came together very late. And specifically what Triple H said was it didn't look like it was going to happen until nobody thought it was going to happen anymore. And anything saying that CM Punk was coming back before that was speculation. Now, based on the sources that I've spoken to, that seems to be the case. There are people saying they knew in October. CM Punk didn't know in October. Punk had told a couple of close friends, at least as of the day of, because they were tuned into the show, they were watching. But talent themselves associated with the match did not find out until before entrances. And almost all the talent in the ring knew. There was the Seth Rollins thing, and I'm of the belief that's a work, but I don't know if he clued in CM Punk that was a work, because he did go through Gorilla. Whether it's a work or not, this is what happened. Triple H and Michael Cole kind of had to usher him out of the area. CM Punk looked very confused. Drew McIntyre also rushed to the back. He was holding his eye, but he was selling. And he was frustrated by a bunch of other things, but also lack of communication and trust as it relates to that. We're going to have more on that situation, but he's a pro. He's still going to show up and work and do his job and all that. So from what I understand, the deal came together in the last couple of weeks, probably about 10 days before Survivor Series, when they had that conversation. I don't know at what point they agreed that they would do business, but as of Saturday morning, there was no deal finalized and signed, but there was the idea that he was going to come in. Now, as we had reported today, there were protocols and stuff for ignoring CM Punk chants and the like. There was a thing that Corey Brennan had reported on Fightful that Triple H, Bruce Pritchard, and Michael Hayes needed to discuss a change to the main event, but weren't told that was specifically Punk-related. Now, Triple H took over producing the show himself after an area was cleared out of the back for CM Punk. Then he walked through in plain sight, did Punk, and that's when we got the news that Punk was headed out. Triple H called for the copyright graphic and then the music himself. the graphic that was up was something that they've just had, and they used renders from 10 years ago, but they had the music ready. The Peacock thing, I asked people at Peacock, and they were like, those playlists take no time to put together. That wasn't indicative of any knowledge prior to that. Now, there were definitely some people that were like, ugh, what are we doing here? There wasn't a lot of reaction from people in AEW that I talked to. In fact, they were more interested in finding out what people in WWE thought based on what the conversations I had. Now, you'll see reports from a lot of people saying, well, the AEW reaction is this, this, this. It's a big company. There's going to be all kinds of different reactions to stuff like that. But I can tell you that Tony Khan was more concerned about what was next for Katsuyori Shibata than he was CM Punk. Also, I don't believe that the talent that were in the War Games match were all told at the same time. And reactions weren't all negative. Some of his friends, I had heard Kofi Kingston and Bayley were a couple of them that approached Punk after this as well. There are some people that believe that Triple H may have lost some trust as a result of this. Not because he kept a secret from them, but because of the nature of bringing CM Punk in and the fact that a lot of top talent directly asked Triple H, and a lot of people of influence asked Triple H, and were outright told no. There were people in TKO, execs, that did not know that this happened until Survivor Series went on the air. And you know what? As long as the peace is kept within that locker room, which is a very, very good locker room, more power to them. It'll cause an incredible amount of buzz. WWE is in a very successful period right now. So if they can maintain peace, not have any issues with the locker room, well, this is going to be enormous for WWE in an already enormous period. Punk is scheduled for Raw, as we had reported this past weekend. Much of Raw was already planned without Punk, so rewrites were in order for the show. There's talk of him being a free agent, but we haven't confirmed that as of yet. Those we spoke to claimed that Vince McMahon wasn't involved in the decision-making. It was Nick Khan and Triple H. We can confirm that there was a TNA wrestling offer on the table, and some of his friends had even indicated that, like, maybe he should do it, because at the time it didn't look like WWE was going to be an option. But Ace Steele works there. His friend, the former Lou D'Angelo, works in TNA now, and it would have been an opportunity for him to help them get a bigger TV deal, to, you know, work more limited dates, still make some money in addition, which I don't know if the dude needs money or not. I don't know about his finances. As far as who was in the know, who wasn't in the know, there were some people in WWE asking if Punk was behind the devil angle as recently as maybe early this month. Maybe, I think, either early this month or late last month. But man, there's going to be a lot to talk about here. We're told that many WWE talent expect to speak with higher-ups and gain some assurances about Punk and how he'll be in the company moving forward. Man. Well, Shibata is not going to be in AEW or ROH for a while. He dropped the Pure Championship to Wheeler Yuta on the November 25th episode of AEW. This came after Yuta confronted Shibata, and the loss to Yuta set up Shibata to take some time away. AEW officials said that Shibata has to return to Japan for an extended period as soon as possible, could not wait for ROH Final Battle to leave. Shibata was said to be high on the idea of Yuta stealing the title and teasing he was going to try to injure Shibata's brain before Hook saved him to create some drama, but not put him out for good. The idea was that the attack would do just enough that ROH would be forced to give Shibata an extended no-contact period before he could return to action as a precaution. Sources said that Shibata's absence was something that ROH hoped he could put off until after Final Battle, but it was confirmed earlier in the week that it just wouldn't be possible for him to stay that long. Shibata really likes working in AEW and ROH, and I know that Shibata coming back over there is a priority for them. Good news for a couple talent who have been sidelined. Dante Martin and Mark Quinn are both at least on their way to getting cleared. Dante Martin of Top Flight had that pretty disgusting injury. ROH Supercard of Honor weekend, the destroyer through the table, off a ladder, outside. And Mark Quinn had been sidelined with a shoulder injury dating back a full year. So Private Party likely to get back together soon. Dante Martin, Top Flight, Darius Martin, probably coming back soon. That being said, you never know when creative will actually have something for them, so to speak. But Swerve Hangman, that match, obviously incredible. I mention this all the time. We don't do individual match ratings, but we will say when the Fightful scale hits 10 out of 10, that one's a Fightful 10 out of 10 right there. First match of that kind that I can remember giving that rating to. But a particular spot that got a lot of attention was Hangman drinking Swerve's blood and spitting it out. It was an approved spot. It was pitched and accepted and given the green light by the match producer. WWE signings. Brogan Finley, Jay Malachi, Lucky Ali, and Matty Rinkowski were all at the Performance Center a couple weeks ago or a week and a half ago. They are slated to start full-time at the Performance Center in mid-December. Juice Robinson, unfortunately, sidelined. He was absent from Full Gear weekend. He's going to have back surgery. We weren't given a specific timetable, but we're told that he's likely done for the year. Wasn't expected to be an extremely drawn-out absence, barring some setbacks. We had mentioned that AEW Fight Forever is going to continue with updates as they originally planned. Saraya was actually scanned for the game in recent months as well. Alex Hammerstone, so he had a return at MLW Fightland, and it got a lot of people thinking the entire situation with him was a work. It wasn't. They ran a storyline that was sort of true, sort of storyline, and then you had like some people from MLW pretending it was a work the whole time. Alex Hammerstone did ask for his release, and he is getting his release at the end of the year. The deal came together just days before the MLW Fightland show, and he was kept away. He wasn't in the building throughout much of the night. He entered the arena once the Alex Kane-Jacob Fatu match started, was listed as WTF outsider on run sheets. And basically, he came back and agreed to work this angle with World Titan Federation, which is a playoff WWF. And then he'd finish up as a result at the end of the year. Now, this is what he was supposed to be doing earlier this year. It was originally pitched to him, at least. So they're at least getting something out of him, and then he gets his release. Speaking of MLW, everyone was happy with the 48-minute Alex Kane-Jacob Fatu title match at MLW Fightland. Kane got busted open hard way, did not require stitches. Those World Titan Federation shirts went on sale for MLW last week and became a top seller since that angle. The new Mascara Dorada blew a lot of people away in MLW. He's going to be a regular going forward with the company. Josh Bishop also will be a regular moving forward. He joined WTF, and there are going to be more outsiders joining that group. Second Gear Crew versus RSP and Akira had their blow-off match. RSP and The Calling are set to feud with Akira into the next year. They really like Akira in MLW, so I mean that's worked out pretty well for him so far. Talent that we've spoke to have not been informed as to the context of Shinsuke Nakamura's callouts. I had somebody ask, is that like out of the ordinary? Not really. It's not really that out of the ordinary. War Games, SmackDown, Raw, we had lots of producer news coming out of those shows. I did want to make a correction as there was a typo. The women's War Games match was actually produced by TJ Wilson, Petey Williams, and Nick Aldis. The men's War Game was produced by Michael Hayes, Jamie Noble, and Bobby Roode. The Randy Orton reveal last week was done intentionally as to not make fans believe it would be CM Punk as the partner. And while there was the tease of Orton being taken out of the match, we had reported on Fightful Select that he was still planned for it. Stephanie McMahon was also at the show. That is rare. That is not something that has happened a lot over the last 10, 11 months or so. Scott Edwards talked to the former Saray. You guys are going to want to check out that interview. It is up early access right now for Tier 2 members. Talked about a whole lot of things. I mean, Scott does such incredible work covering Joshi Wrestling and is obviously a wheelhouse that I'm not well adept at. And he's got such a phenomenal work ethic and does such great stuff. But it's to promote the upcoming show on January 16th. So make sure you guys check that out. Unfortunately, we also dropped two interviews with Shaz and McKenzie, one of which I did in April and just didn't want to release. Then Iridian did one in September, didn't want to release that. But I guess we do have a match to promote on December 2nd at Black Label Pro in Chicago. My first match in over 6 years. But hey, you know what? I'm raising money for a good cause. We've raised over $4,000 in donations and pledges to the National Alliance on Mental Illness. That's where all the any sponsorships or payouts that I get associated to this are going straight to that. Please check it out, NAMI.org. It would mean an awful lot if you guys did that. Thank you guys so much. We had an incredible increase in subscriptions this weekend because of our truth, and I just want to say thank you guys for that. Not just on the paid end, but the free end. There's also an option where if we happen to post anything free, you get that notification, which I didn't know was a thing. But you know what? It's pretty cool because now what we'll do is occasionally we will post some information on the free end that has already been made public. So the subscribers at the $5 tier are not going to get anything given away that they're given. But if it's something that we break on like a podcast or something like that, we'll go ahead and post it over there. But thank you guys so much. It really means a lot. I never thought we'd see the day where we got back to this number of subscribers. And I just want to say thank you guys because you supporting our coverage and good media literacy, which is very, very important, goes a long way in what we do. So thank you all so much. We're out.